Okay, this is Rich Gurman, and this next interview is with Jen Blackert, who joins us from Austin, Texas. Jen wrote a fabulous story for the book that is called The Journey to Authentic Truth. I'm so excited to be with her on this interview tonight, and she's got so many great things that she's going to share with us all. So first of all, Jen, are you out there?
I am here.
All right. Welcome, Jen. I just want to say publicly it's been fun to get to know you over the process of creating the book and now this interview program, and I'm real excited that we're going to have this conversation right now.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. So why don't we begin, Jen? Why don't you give us just a little background about yourself? Obviously, I said you're from Austin, Texas, but just tell us a little bit about your life and what you do.
Yeah, so I have two kids, and one is 11, and the other one is adopted from China, and she is 2 years old.
Nice.
And I am a work-at-home entrepreneur. I work in teaching entrepreneurs how to apply the law of attraction and build a phenomenal entrepreneurship.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, cool. So why don't we just jump right into your story, Journey to Authentic Truth. It basically begins with you as a child dealing with some anxiety issues and depression. And what's so great about it is there's so many people that can relate to that, and obviously you've come out strong on the other side and made an unbelievable life for yourself. So let's hear it from you. Tell us your story.
Yeah, so I think my story really begins before I wrote it in the book, but when I was 16, I remember being so severely depressed that I would just go to school and go home and slam the door shut and tell my parents I hated them and then cry on my bed. Mm. And I was in a very dark place. And the only thing that was really getting me out of it was I was kind of cute and perky, and I had boyfriends that liked me. So I would go in these ups and downs. As long as a boy seemed to like me, I could seem to be okay in life. If I had somebody always there for me, I was almost dependent upon having some kind of support system, is really what I've discovered in this process. And really where my journey began, so as you get older and in your 20s, you do kind of come out of that depression a little bit, and then it became more anxiety that I was really dealing with. It was that whole 20s hyperness, you know, when you're actually like, I got to make, and I was an incredible manifester that way. I could create whatever I wanted as fast as I wanted, and I just put massive, massive action into my work. And I just kept doing, and then in my story I share, I ended up finding yoga as a physical practice, and it turned into a deep, deep spiritual practice. Mm. And I shared that when I was in Shavasana, that final rest state, I would try to get my mind working. And I took a really rigorous vinyasa class, and it's actually hard at sometimes to get my mind re-engaged, but as soon as I got quiet, I almost got fearful. And I started to realize that I was afraid of who I really was. And gosh, it just gives me chills talking about this, because what I really had avoided myself. And when I started really thinking, well, who is the I? Is it me, or am I avoiding the myself?
Yeah.
And then I was introduced to a concept through a Taoist teacher in yoga about the dual self, about how, you know, there's the ego, and then there's really the true authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And so my practice then turned into, who's the ego talking and who is the I of me? And then I started really diving into some of the Taoist principles and yogic principles, and I couldn't help but seek this information. It was information that I knew was there to be sought, and some of it I was almost channeling in, that what, you know, were things like seek the truth and, you know, follow the law and follow the flow, and just little phrases like that. And I was, at the time, I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I was getting so quiet that that was what was happening. So my story is about when my corporate career ended, and I shared how I had an interaction with what I found out was a TMer, and that stands for Transcendental Meditator.
Sure.
And I didn't know what that is, and I didn't really know what it was, and I still don't know that much about it. But I did know that I was attuned enough to know that this call out of inner space was for me. And I knew that he had a message for me, and he was very clear on the phone, and I shared a little bit of that in my story. But that was the first real sign that got me on the path to really understanding that there is this universal mind, and it communicates through these bodies, and we really are all one, kind of in the collaborative mind. And I really decided that I was going to master. I had to master how to run my life in the present moment.
Yes.
And with ease and flow, and to just walk the way. And I, just studied the Tao up and down, inside out, to figure out how I can just follow the way. And these days, my business has just grown in phenomenal leaps and bounds, and I do very, very little. I just listen and take effective action instead of just doing everything like I used to do.
You were the doer, that's right.
Right. I decided to be a beer instead of a doer.
So yeah. I love what you're sharing. This is such first of all, it's a deep conversation, and I think the world is ready for it. I think a lot of people, in fact, I mean, if you just look at the amount of people in this country alone, Jen, that take medications every day to deal with anxiety and depression. We're just trying to numb ourselves from the truth of our reality, and I think most people are absolutely ruled by the mind. So when you talk about that dualism, to me it's the light and the dark, it's the yin and the yang, it's the mind versus the heart. And what I'm hearing from you is you grew up spending so much time caught in your head. You know, like you said, I needed to be in a relationship with a boy to feel happier, to feel loved. Like it was like you had to go outside of yourself, which is what I think most people do, to find what they're looking for, when the truth is, as you know, everything you need is inside of you. So what I'd like to hear more from you, and I'm sure people listening, how did you make that leap from, I mean, basically, I say it this way, the journey from the head to the heart, which is about 18 inches, maybe 2 feet, depending on how tall you are, is the longest journey you could ever take. It's harder and longer than maybe walking around the entire planet. Tell us a little bit more about how you made the leap from the head into the heart.
It was really really easy once I figured it out. Mm. And I say that it was easy. It wasn't in time, in this earthly time. It probably wasn't the quickest journey, I would say. And these days, I do fall in and out of it. But I do, especially during my weekday when my kids aren't around, I do better in staying in the flow. But I probably about 70% of my day, I will be in the way, is what I call the way, where I just pay attention and listen. And then 30%, I'll get frazzled, or something will take me out of it, and I don't even really fall into that negative self-talk anymore. But it's been a constant of observation of what's happening in the head, and a constant regrouping and saying retraining the head.
I love what you said, a constant observation. A couple things. Yeah. I would imagine you said 70% of the time you're in the flow, and 30% you could be frazzled. I would imagine when you get frazzled now, because you're being that constant observer, you're able to catch yourself quicker.
Usually,
And not stay in it too long.
Whenever something, and I've worked this for so long now. I'm beginning to even find, you just keep getting more and more and more. I had an awakening just a week ago, and I'm kind of out of the. I want a really large life, and I believe that is my purpose to grow.
Yes.
But somebody told me, she said, "Do you realize your ambition is causing you suffering?"
Yes.
And I took a look at it for a minute, and I said, "Yeah, but my ambition—if you really knew me—it resides there, and I hold it as a vision, and it doesn't cause me as much suffering as one would think, because." You know, if it's the ambition, I've got to do more and have more.
Yes.
And yes, I do want to grow, but I think that the ambition it's not always there anymore. I still follow the way and I be more continuously, and in being more, I create. But the having and doing, not so much. I things get done without me doing.
I love it. And I wouldn't say that it's your ambition that will cause suffering. Because I think as a human being, as humans, we're going to have desires. We're going to have ambitions, especially people on the path that we're on. That's just part of the deal. Mm-hmm. I would say it's your expectations and your attachments to how those ambitions are going to unfold. That's where we get in trouble.
Mm.
And when you're being that authentic self and really being true to who you are, the desire is just going to be there, and you're going to take action when needed. You're going to hold back when needed. You're going to listen for, you know, the guidance. But if it doesn't work out this way, I'm not going to be happy. Or, you know, that's attachment. That's expectation. I think that's where the suffering comes from.
Yeah. I started a prayer about 2 years ago that said, God, use me. You know, God, I want to be your servant. But, you know, there's always that kind of little inkling in my head, but don't take away my shoes.
But I want my stuff, man.
Yeah. I had to step into it with a belief that God knows that my desire is to have a lot of wealth. And that he wouldn't...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. And he wouldn't give me that desire if he didn't want to hand it over to me. And he is my father. He wants to give me the kingdom.
Totally agree. I love it. It's funny you talk about prayer. I don't really pray much. I meditate a lot, but if I do pray, I really have one prayer, and it's almost identical to what you said, and that is, how may this body and mind best serve your love, light, and wisdom?
Oh, I love it.
How may this body and mind best serve, you know, how can I serve is what it's all about, and just from my own experience, Jen, I find when I'm focused on how I can serve, then I'm in my heart. If I'm focused on my ambition and what I want, that's where the attachment expectation, and that's where all the fear, you know, you talked about fear earlier, the fear and the worry and the doubt and the anxiety and the depression, I think it all stems from that.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about law of attraction. How did you first learn about it, and how are you using it in your life now?
Well, I didn't really know that it was law of attraction, but really I follow more like a yogic philosophy and the yogic principles. And then as I got more attuned to, I didn't actually call my work Law of Attraction until I saw The Secret. I had used the words Law of Attraction or Law of Intention, but I had never, but really The Secret kind of solidified that for me, exactly what I was doing. But I was just using the word universal wisdom and universal principles.
Kind of all the same, is it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of don't like the words law of attraction, because what I really think is that we are all one and we attract what we resonate with.
Yes.
So it's more like, where am I resonating now? And attraction sounds like we're not all one and we're pulling something towards us, something outside of us. So I like... I kind of call my work, and I joke with clients and say, it's really like the law of resonance.
Very good. Yeah, you're going to you're gonna attract good or bad, depending on where you're resonating.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, so tell us more about your work and maybe how your story has evolved. Obviously, you wrote that probably a year ago now, and I know your life has been amazing ever since. So we've got a few more minutes here, so what else do you want to share?
Yeah, it keeps getting better every single day. I I think with my work in working with entrepreneurs, I've got to, I wrote a book, Seven Dragons, A Guide to a Limitless Mind, so I look at mental perceptions, and what I really do is kind of pull them out of the big perception and move them back into the present and teach them how to use the present with their work. Mm. And so in doing that, I mean, that holds me back in the present when that's what you do every day.
That's right.
And I think the biggie for them is the universe always kind of offers you something outside your own awareness zone. So if it's a stretch, like you want to say you can't, you don't have the money, but really it would just be a stretch, and maybe you have to liquidate some of your resources, like, you know, put some things on eBay or something like that. That's usually how the universe likes to play with us entrepreneurs when we first start. And so I really enjoy my work in recognizing that for myself. How can I push the envelope of the universe and push my limits? You know, am I ready for the Aston Martin yet? You know, and how, and you know, whenever I find that I do things like that, I can step into faith and know that the money is coming.
You know, it's fun. It sounds like you're not taking any of this too serious, like it's just a game anyways. Am
oh,
I right?
Well, I do play it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I understand it enough now that I can do that. But you have to, I think, don't you agree, Rich? It doesn't happen right away. You can't step into 100% faith until, you know, a few levels of awareness open up to you.
I totally agree. And it goes back to what we're saying about the mind and how powerful our mind is. Until we can kind of get beyond the mind and get into the heart, I don't think anyone can attract as much or resonate, as you call it, at that level until you definitely, it requires some work on yourself, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think the heart is faith.
Yes.
You know, we say the power of the mind, but it's really the power of the heart.
It is.
Yeah.
Totally.
Love it.
So we've got a couple minutes here. I want to go back to where we started with this whole anxiety and depression. I'm convinced right now there's people listening that are dealing with it either like you as a child or even as adults. And it's sad that so many people, I mean, hundreds of millions of people around the planet dealing with these issues. What advice would you give them?
I actually still kind of fall into that state every once in a while. And I just have to keep reminding myself. I first find, okay, am I fretting about something that I haven't yet accomplished? You know, am I not taking full self-acceptance and responsibility for what I've done in the past? Because a lot of times, and I think especially when I was younger, you know, I would look at other people and be like, well, they're here and he's there and I'm just here. And in looking at your past like that, you first kind of do this whole yuck, and then you start going through this whole, you know, I'm no good, and then you just kind of have to, you know. So I first look at that area and say, wait, no, I've stepped into accepting myself fully for everything that I've brought into my life and where I am right now. So, you know, come on, let's snap out of that.
Yes.
You know, I think there's that, and then there's I got to do this, and I got to do that, and, you know, we get ourselves into this overwhelm. Well, there again, we're in the future, so I got to snap myself out of that that route, and then I kind of just have to really self-love, and for me, I do that by, you know, getting present, and then, you know, self-indulging, mostly in, like, baths and books and
chocolate and things like that.
Yeah, taking your mind off of it. I mean, going to a movie, I think, can really change our vibration. Listening to music. I mean, these are all things that I go to now. As soon as I start getting an inkling of that, I try, you know, those techniques, and then I go for the book, and I try to get my mind focused on somebody else's story. But I really feel like the depression, for me, was related to stories. But it's hard to get yourself back into a place of presence when you're in those states.
Yeah, it's like we all tell stories, so let's create a better story.
Right. Let's start using our imagination and change our past.
We made up the past. We might as well make up a better future. So, and I think the key to what you're saying is it's all about being present. When we're in the moment, right here, right now, as you're listening, everything is just perfect. It really is. It's only, basically people either go one of two ways. They're constantly thinking about what happened in the past, what didn't work, what they didn't like, and that just gets them more of it. Or they're worried about what's going to happen in the future. That was my old thing. I always be worried about, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? And when I learned to get present right here, right now, and realize everything is perfect, there really is no destination anyway, and just focus, like you said, Jen, on just being versus doing and doing and doing. Not that I don't work hard and take action, but just that presence. And also, like you said, taking responsibility, accepting yourself fully, self-love. So much good stuff in here. So we're going to begin winding this down, but I want to recommend to go back and listen to this again, because in this, 15, 20 minutes that we've been talking, you've shared so much. I mean, just the power of yoga itself, that's a whole conversation we can have. So, Jen, I want to thank you for being here. I'm going to give you the final thought, but so we don't forget, if somebody wants to get a hold of you via email, website, what's the best way to get a hold of Jen?
Yeah, so my main website is attractiondiva.com, and then that's probably the best way. I'm also starting a new venture just for entrepreneurs at www.entrepreneurmachine.com.
So give us the first one again.
Attraction Diva.
Attraction Diva. And then the second one?
Entrepreneur Machine.
Love it. Easy for you to say. Okay, so...
sort of.
Jen, I want to thank you for being here and taking the time to do this. I know you're totally coming from a place of contribution and really sharing your story that you did. I mean, that took a lot of vulnerability to put that out there, in the book and to share it here today. And I know it's beautiful because so many people can learn from it. I think so many people dealing with anxiety and depression and just fear in general, we kind of huddle up and we don't go out there and look for help. So hopefully many people have been touched by this. So as we close, I'm going to give you the final thought, Jen.
The final thought?
Make it a good one. Any final thoughts you want to share?
I think that the final thought would be inspired to actually be in the present moment and be inspired to feel the spirit in the moment.
Yeah, inspiration in spirit. Just be and just connect with that spirit. I love it. Jen, we're going to have more of these conversations soon, and we'll keep this going. I hope everyone enjoyed this interview as much as I did, and I'll talk to you very soon, Jen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.